Hey, all you space cats, welcome to the Black Hole Podcast, Season 7, Episode 14. I'm Mitch Miller, your host and presidential hopeful for the 2024 presidential election. I am the most neutral person in the world and definitely the most transparent candidate on the ballot. Now, you may ask yourself, What is Mitch Miller's belief system, right? What religion is he? What's his belief system? Because that's important to a lot of people, I understand. I was raised Presbyterian. That's a sect of the Christian faith, and it was the only church in my community, my very small 200-person community. But I've moved into a belief system. I believe in nature, and I try to get out in it as much as possible. I believe in nature and the animal kingdom. I believe nature and the animal kingdom give us signs to help us through our journey of life. And that's where my beliefs land. I believe in nature, and prefer being out in nature whenever possible. Yeah, that's it. I mean, it's pretty simple. I believe it's a simple belief system, and you can take it or leave it, I guess. So that being said, you won't find me in church, right? And here's the key to this. If you want leaders to not make backroom deals, you have to keep them out of back rooms, right? So churches, temples, places where they can be pulled aside by very powerful people and propositioned, right? So you won't find me in a church or a lodge while I'm elected as a elected official or while I'm running. I won't be in a Teamster temple or a Masonic temple. I won't even visit my fraternity house, which was the first non-sectarian fraternity in the United States. So that's where I think all elected officials should be, and that's what I'm vowing to do. I'm going to try everything in my power to stay out of these situations and out of these buildings that create the opportunity for backroom deals. Now, I want to look at capitalism. As I said, I'm a free market entrepreneur. I believe in a free market, but everybody touts capitalism as this great thing, and it can be, right? It's a democratic form of an economy in some ways, but I want to look at capitalism, possibly how computers may analyze it, right? Now, in capitalism, we express love through gifts, allowances, payments. Therefore, denial of payment is an expression of hate, right? If payments are an expression of love, a denial of payment is an expression of hate, especially if most or everyone agrees that the payment should be made. Kind of like taxes, right? So it can be assumed that wealthy people who dodge taxes are basically saying they hate the government and hypothetically the nation that governs their nation. Now, there is a huge difference between someone living paycheck to paycheck and taking some cash payments and a wealthy person paying accountants to find tax loopholes because they hate their nation, right? Just like there's a difference between an elected official getting a few thousand dollars a year from a corn crop on their land and wealthy politicians sitting on boards of powerful corporations they're supposed to regulate. So, you know, there's nuance in these ideas and how, and I don't know if computers are equipped to differentiate between those nuances, but there are large differences between these two concepts. And we tend in the United States to focus on the poor and the low class as enforcing the laws as stringently as possible, when maybe we should look at the top wealthy class, and maybe supercomputers, artificial intelligence computers will do this. So these wealthy tax dodgers, here's something that I'm trying to propose here. These wealthy tax dodgers, they're the real terrorists, right? Because they support a media system that preys on the fears of the people. Now, some of them subscribe to these media systems and networks. They own shares of the media system. Some of them are friends and buddies with the executives of these media systems. But the wealthy and their media bring terror into millions of people's living rooms 24 hours a day. They bring heinous murders that don't affect our lives at all. Right? The perpetrator's been captured. We have an efficient police force that captures these people pretty handily. Maybe if the killer were on the loose, right? If the murderer, the criminal were on the loose, yes, maybe that would affect our lives. They need help, a dragnet to find these people, put it in the evening news, and hopefully we can help find the criminal. But there are tens or hundreds of crimes a day that are broadcast where the people were already caught. It doesn't affect us at all. You're just showing murders and heinous crimes to keep us on edge, to scare us, and it's a form of terrorism. So perhaps the wealthy tax dodgers that spread hateful media should be classified as a terrorist, right? Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't classify people that commit acts of terror as terrorists. I'm not saying reverse the rule completely. I'm just saying let's identify all forms of terrorism, not just the ones that are kind of xenophobic in nature or, let's identify all forms of terror if we're going to pay intelligence agencies to spy on hundreds of thousands of people. Right, identify all the forms of terror and apply that technology accordingly. So as president, changing the subject, as president, I'm going to offer, well, here, I just want to talk, changing the subject, I want to talk about corporate communists and their bailouts, right? They have companies that are too big to fail, and they get a bailout. Because the company might fail, right? They get a bailout from taxpayer funds. The government coordinates it. And it's happened in my lifetime quite a few times. The banks got huge bailouts. So as president, I'm going to offer a bottom-up bailout. All right, I think this is the way the bailouts should function in a capitalist society. So we're going to let the one tier of the corporate communist system, right? It's the Republicans and the Democrats. There are two tiers of a communist system. The one tier, the Republicans, get together with their buddies that are corporate executives, and they come up with the number for the bailout, right? This big billion-dollar number, multi-billion-dollar number. And the other tier of the corporate communist system, the Democrats, if they weren't communists, here's what they would propose, right? We're going to take that number and we're going to pass it. We're going to pass it, but we're going to take that number and we're going to go from the bottom up. We're going to offer workers in that company a weekly stipend. It's not going to be as much as their regular pay, so they're not motivated to trash the company. Not that they would. I'm just saying that's going to be the argument from the corporate communists. Oh, they'll undercut our company or whatever. So they get a stipend. So we stabilize that workforce. We don't take thousands or tens of thousands out of our economy, our national economy. They're still able to live and purchase at least the bare necessities and possibly more. Now look, the management of that corporation failed. They failed to innovate. They failed to identify risks. End of the line, they failed. And they need a bailout. And in capitalism, when management fails, it needs replaced. So a capitalist government should aid in this process, right? We should set our bailouts and our government up to aid in a transition from one management team to another when a company fails. But it's more than that. It's assisting in a new company rising from the ashes, right? That company fails, the management failed. If you want bailed out, we're going to have a supply chain issue in our economy and our GDP. We're going to have a void, right? So we're stabilizing that void. We're going to investigate what happened with the company, and we're going to assist in a new management team and a new entity taking its place as quickly as possible. So the skilled workers are stabilized. We investigate malfeasance within the company. Any middle management that have copies of communication showing malfeasance or mismanagement will be encouraged to report it to a government task force, a task force tasked with investigating this company. Then, if we had a, I don't know, voting platform in this country, in this democratic country, that allowed for discourse, discussion, and voting, we could set up a tier of that so that workers in middle management can vote on a new management team to start a new entity. Now, you may say, what happens to all the investors, right? All these investors invested in the company. That's why we need to bail out so that the investors don't lose all their money. People's retirement relies on it, right? It's capitalism. You didn't pay close enough attention to your management team, and they failed. They failed you. But it's capitalism. So the investors, they follow the equipment. They follow the assets, the factories, the beautiful corporate offices, the real estate, and they're offered shares in the new entity rather than taking the course of liquidating all of those assets, right? And let's face it, the CEOs, the executives, they took hundreds of millions of dollars in compensation out of the company. So those assets, when you liquidate them, probably aren't going to get your investment back in most cases. But that can be up for vote by the investors. Do you want to liquidate, or do you want to have new shares in a new entity? This new entity will probably buy the liquidated assets, but that'll be a negotiation process by the new management team, who are all, by the way, the workers are skilled. They're already trained in the field. The middle management and the new management team are all skilled, and their jobs are preserved. So this is truly a capitalist bailout. The government helps transition these large corporations to new management, just like they offer grants to small businesses, right? The government's there to help. It's not there to take over private corporations, publicly traded corporations, and things like that. It just transitions and it investigates because you're getting taxpayer money because you failed. So now you get investigated. Right? So that's my bottom-up bailout system. That's what I bring to the table if I'm elected president of the United States. If we pass this legislation for future bailouts, this is how a bailout works from now on. I will definitely sign that if it comes across my desk. I will pick it apart, and I'll make sure it favors the workers. And we've proven that, you know, with the pandemic, with giving these direct payments to the low class, that stabilizes and helps the economy more than bailing out a few wealthy people who sometimes mismanage their corporations because they operate in absolute secrecy and they have no oversight. They're not accountable to the people. They're accountable to shareholders who are more wealthy people who operate in secrecy. Anyhow, thanks for joining me. We've got some art and some t-shirts out at Original Ideas in Berwick, Pennsylvania for sale. Still looking for volunteers to help with my campaign. And all you lake communities and golf course communities, I know I'm hard on the top, people at the top, but they really should take some criticism, don't you think? So contribute to the campaign, $2,000. We'll build the Periscope platform, and we'll have a better, more democratic society. Until next time, I wish you peace, prosperity, and homeostasis.